Welcome, listening friend, to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 22nd, 2013. I'm going to get it all right today. The right program on the right day. Those of you that might be a bit discombobulated with yesterday's program giving today's date, which was actually recorded a week ago, and then how that all worked, and then on last Friday's program being the prior week, and I tried to fix that in the middle, and then I still relaunched the prior Friday. I think we'll get it all right this week. But this Friday will actually be last Friday's broadcast, Jason, because we're going through the book of Acts, and because we talked about a portion of Acts that I don't want to just skip, this Friday's program will actually be the one that was supposed to air last Friday. So anyways, we're here in the studio welcoming you. And before we talk about some zoo adventures, I have some God sightings that I want to alert our listeners to, because they've been praying for the Jeep and the Jeep situation. This is the radio Jeep I bought, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago from a friend up in Oak Brook. Got a great deal on it. And it was having some issues. I thought the transmission was starting to slip and it was going to really give up the ghost. And a guy looked at it and he said, oh, you have this issue too and it won't start now. And he said, gosh, a transmission's a couple $1,000s, and then this computer port chip, whatever, you know, nowadays with cars, it's all computer generated. Yeah. He said, that's another $500. Well, so I started looking at different vehicles. Well, lo and behold, he said, you know, that computer system might be what was causing the transmission to slip. He said, it still has a good engine. So I prayed about it, just had a piece. And then I said, go ahead, replace the one part, $500 or so and whatever. He had some other kind of sensor he was going to add in. And it's back on the road. It's running fine. So hopefully I can get a couple more years out of that Jeep.
God.
So anyways, that was a great answer to prayer. And thank you, God, for Phil Shepherd. He was down this past Thursday and Friday. We worked a number of hours, one night past midnight. But we have two new systems. You see the new computer over here. The computer we had in the studio was about 7 years old. And the life of
computer. Hamsters running it.
Yeah, that's right. When the power would go out, they would start squeaking.
You could hear the wheel turning.
Actually, you know what? That's why I moved it to the floor. The fan motors were so loud that sometimes you could hear it coming through the microphones, and that's why I had it down on the floor. This one, it has like double strength fan motors. You can't even hear it. It's like, it's great. So anyways, we have a new improved, and it has a faster processor. And I noticed every so often, you and I would have a discussion over the air, and it's like, I know what word I said. How did that get clipped? And I think the processor that processes the morning program that puts it into the air, every so often a consonant or something would fall out. And I'm like, I know I pronounced that right. Well, anyways, this new processor with all sorts of memory will help with our morning program. Herb, the radio servant, I asked him some weeks ago, he was going to work on all the weeds around our Fithian Tower. I mean, some of them were like knee-high, waist-high. I mean, some massive weeding needed to be done and spraying. Well, he couldn't make it out, but he told his men's group. He meets with a bunch of guys. I don't know where they meet, near Paris, Illinois, or Villa Grove, or somewhere on the east end of our listening area. And a number of these guys, I guess, a few days ago, went out to the tower, mowed and cut and trimmed everything up. So Herb didn't give me their names, but the Herb group, thanks for all your assistance and help. And when we needed that component for the transmitter, actually a couple of modules some months back, one of the guys, he and his church sent in $1,000. So that helped with all those expenses. So we appreciate those guys. I've never met them. Maybe some Saturday or whenever they meet, they'll have me come down and I'll share some testimonies about the station. But thank you, God, for working through different people. And Herb, the radio servant, was doing prison ministry, and then Marge was in a car accident, and so he wasn't able to attend to that. But Marge is on the mend. I talked to her on Monday night and got an update, and she's healing along. So we'll keep you in prayer, Marge, and thank you, Herb, the radio servant, and thank you, Herb friends. On Saturday, I attended a real interesting, it was called Pecha Kucha night. And it was, and I don't know, I probably butchered that. I have trouble saying English words, let alone this is a Japanese word, and it means chit-chat. And what they did, they held this gathering. It was eight different presenters. It was held at the Cranert Art Museum. And these eight different presenters came up with 20 slides. They had 20 seconds per slide to tell a story. It could be part of their life story. It could be about a topic they have an interest in, like calligraphy or those alpacas, how to raise them. Somebody did it about air traffic controlling. One of them did it on an adult subject that I could have done without. So this wasn't like a Christian testimony. Mm-hmm. But one guy did share. He explained some of his life journey and had a picture of Jesus. Of course, you know, there's, oh, that's what Jesus looks like. So thank you so much for clarifying that. But his was somewhat God-honoring. But anyways, I started thinking after I left, and it was worthwhile. It was interesting. Mm-hmm. About 300 people at Granite Arts Center, very artsy kind of people. So you would fit right in with the group. But I thought maybe we could have a redemptive way of sharing maybe the same kind of concept. Maybe we'd go 10 slides, 7 minutes or something, and maybe we could do it at Marketplace Mall or something, where we have people maybe share their testimony or an interesting subject. You know, somebody's an engineer and builds airplanes, or whatever the topic would be. I got to think and pray that through, but I love getting people together. Or maybe it could be just their testimonies, and they would use slides and pictures to say, this is me at a camp in Wisconsin when I was 8 years old, and then this is the youth pastor that witnessed to me where I grasped God's love, and then they would convey an aspect of God's love or something that got to their heart or the core of their being, and then another way of demonstrating how they're using their gifts or talents or being on the mission field. And it could be what they did with these 20 slides in 20 seconds. I mean, the next slide came up, the next slide. So you had 20 seconds, you had to move on. So you and I talked about this just briefly before we got on the air, and you said, you know, Mark, those Christians, me being one of them, it's hard to throttle us back. But this would be the next slide, you had to move on.
Yeah.
And I think we could pull something together where it'd be like a testimony night, so we'll see. Mm. But that happened on Sunday, the Singing Men concert. I think we had 6 or 7 different guys share. They were very heartfelt testimonies and stories and miraculous healings and the way God has worked in their lives. So that was great on Sunday night. Lots of feedback from that concert. But the Singing Men are taking a break until July 15th. So we have no more rehearsals until July 15th. And then I think they'll give us 3 rehearsals for our next concert in August in Rantoul. So Singing Men are on summer break. Monday we had Alan Turner on. He's my friend up in Canada. I think you were blessed if you tuned in. If you missed that program, it's archived at greatnewsradio.org. And then yesterday, Jason and I shared on how passionate we are about prayer. Mm-hmm. And I just absolutely love the book Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders. We're working on maybe having that author on the air in the coming days, and I can't recommend that book enough. Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders. Maybe we can even get a discount. I would recommend go out and buy it now, but we're going to try to see if we can get a discount if we get a number of the books, because I'm thinking everyone I know needs to read this book. But and I'm finishing up a chapter on prayer and fasting. And Jesus' words, I can't remember if it's on the during the Sermon on the Mount, that Matthew 5, 6, or 7, but at one point he says, when you fast, it's taken for granted that the people that he was addressing knew all about fasting and, in fact, practiced that. And I've met people, Christians, that said, I've never fasted. And I said, never? I mean, never ever? Not even like just one meal or fasting from TV or from a practice or going like an extended 2 or 3 day fast? Or, and it's like, no. And I'm like, really? Because in the biblical times, I mean, they fast, and the early church fathers, they fasted twice a week. I didn't know that, but they had like, I think it was like a Tuesday, Friday, or twice a week. I can't remember, or Wednesday, Friday. But I've had the practice on and off throughout the years and variations of it, but it seems like it hasn't happened for a long time. Mm. And so God's just totally recalibrated me and got my attention, and I'm just really excited. I'll share more in the coming days. Tim Johnson at this men's retreat I was at recently said, because I was sharing a lot of things, and he said, you know, Mark, don't launch into any of those things, or don't launch into some of the concepts I had where I wanted to implement some things. He said, until you feel after 30 days you're still that passionate about it or whatever I may do. And so I'm in the midst of that. But, oh, prayer and fasting, great practice, recommended for all. So did you do much praying when you were at the zoo the other day?
We prayed a lot at the zoo. No, it was just a good time to get away and with the family, just to enjoy each other. We don't get a lot of time to do that. And I actually had something happen that was kind of I guess you could say it was a blessing, but, you know, it's just kind of how you looked at it. But we ate at a restaurant, and I won't give the name because it wasn't a good meal. But we ate at a restaurant, and Tasha ordered something that I always tell her don't order. She loves these fish tacos.
Oh.
And I always tell her, I say, that just seems sketchy to me. I mean, I just wouldn't order that if it was me, ever. And she always orders it, and she gets sick. And so she ordered it, and she got sick. And so Friday night, Jacob reminded us that we didn't see certain things at the zoo. So we said, well, we bought a membership, so we'll go back. So we went back the second day, and you know, we got in the zoo, and we were walking around, and we were maybe only there for 15 minutes. And Tasha goes, I just do not feel good. She goes, I need to go back to the hotel. And I said, oh, my goodness. So I'm thinking, I got three kids here, and it's hot, and it's the zoo, and it's, I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, okay,
welcome
but I
to
can.
Motherhood.
Yeah, and there's no car, like no safety net. So I'm like, okay, I can do it. I can do it. Yeah. So she left, and we really had a great day, the kids and I, just my being able to, I don't get a lot of chance without Tasha there just to connect with the kids, sometimes one-on-one, but not all of them together. And we just had a really good time connecting, really good time seeing everything, discussing things. It was just really good. And
hey, how did you do the bathroom break? I think you had a posting on that, and I didn't hear the rest of the story.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Well, yeah, because what happened was Abigail fell asleep in the stroller. So she's in the stroller, and she is just out. And then I needed to go to the washroom. So we're at the zoo. The zoo's packed. It's Saturday at Brookfield Zoo, and I have to go to the bathroom. Abigail's in the stroller. The kids are pretty good, but we're at the point now where it's like 2:30 in the afternoon, and they're starting to get tired, and they're starting to get a little whiny. So we went to where the dolphins were, where you go under the viewing area where you can see the dolphins underwater, and I gave like the longest pep talk in history about staying near the stroller, da-da-da-da-da. And afterwards, it was really nice. I came out, and there was a couple, a real nice young family, and they said to me, they said, hey, we heard your pep talk, so we kind of hung around and kept an eye on the kids while you were in there. Yeah, so there was somebody there, but the dad goes, oh, that was good. He goes, you invoked like no ice cream if you don't do this, but also join me in responsibility and helping to lead the family. And he's like, that was really good. And I'm like, well, it was the best I had because I really had to go to the washroom. So we had a good time. And just really the importance of just cleaning out the closet, you know, just getting rid of all the stuff that's been going on. I mean, I purposely did not answer any emails, which like prayer emails and that for me is tough not to answer. But I even said, I'm not going to answer anything. I made some Facebook postings so people could see what we were doing and get that, but I didn't answer any emails really, didn't bring my laptop, brought my iPad, but didn't take it out once. In fact, it was so funny, on the way back home, I said to Tasha, I said, oh, it's still like at 94%, and I didn't charge it once while we were gone for 3 days. And so we just had a really good time just chilling out, just taking it easy. We thank you, God. We got to the hotel, and I called the hotel on the way there, and I said, hey, we're coming. Can you make sure we have two double beds, and we need a crib? And the lady goes, oh, my gosh. She goes, you know, we're a business hotel. We only have 12 rooms in the entire hotel. They have double beds. And I'm like, oh, no. We're thinking now, like, you know, three kids and us and one king bed. Just thinking, like, how can this get? So we got there, and the lady's like, hey, we worked it out. It's no big deal. And we got up there, and the room was like, the hotel room was two rooms, and there was a pull-out couch. So there was a pull-out bed and two double beds. So we, and there were doors.
It's like a suite almost, right?
Yeah, and the door. And there was doors between the rooms that closed, so we could close these glass doors. And you know, Jacob and Molly slept on the couch pull-out bed. Abigail had her own bed. Tasha and I, and it was just great. And there was TVs in both rooms, so the kids could watch cartoons in the morning. I mean, it was just absolutely. You could not have asked for a more perfect hotel room in terms of our family and everything. So God just all the way through just kept taking care of us, and even so much so as we went to. Trying to find a church to go to because we wanted to go to church, but we had picked one, but then we said, I don't know, let's just throw it against the wall and see what happens. And so we looked at a bunch of websites, and finally we said, you know, we're just going to go to this First Baptist Church of Downers Grove. We got there, and the whole entire service was a concert being given by this band, this a cappella group that was going to go and perform the next day at the Moody Pastors Conference. And it was just exactly what we needed. I mean, God just going like, hey, let me fill the cup up for you.
And it wasn't just like a time of worship. There was great testimonies, an altar call, prayer and just the testimonies that were very God-honoring.
Yeah, and there was one. I'll share this story that the one of the singers, well, it's hard to say, like, the singer because they were all, it's a cappella, so they were all singers. But some guys played guitars and things like that during it. But this guy shared this story that was really powerful for me. I mean, I think by the end of the story, I had tears in my eyes just thinking about the application of it. But he said that they attend down in Georgia is where they're from, and they attend a large church. And he goes, you know, once a month we have baptism service. And we said, you know, probably like 20 or so people get baptized. And he said, so I have a little three-year-old daughter, and he said she loves the baptisms. She said she just loves the cheering, and she loves to see the people get in the water. He goes, so much so that when every day or so, 2 days, when we give her a bath, she now calls the bath the baptism. and he goes, what happens is we fill the tub up and she gets in the tub and then she looks back and she lays back in the water like she's being, he said, and she even says the thing. She says, you know, Jesus, I accept you. And he said, she gives the whole thing. He goes, for better or worse, she gives the whole thing and then she lays back in the bathtub like she's being baptized. And he goes, it's like she loves to do it. He goes, well, the other day I said a couple weeks ago, he had gone in, filled up the tub. They were real busy between dinner and getting the kids ready for bed and everything else. And he filled up the bathtub and put her in the bathtub. And she went to go lean back, and there wasn't as much water as usual in the bathtub. So she looked back, and she realized that if she was going to lay back, she was going to bump her head. So he said she took one of these little Fisher-Price cups. We have these in our bathtub. Our kids love to play with them. And she began to scoop the water from the front of her and put it over her shoulder. She began to scoop the water and put it over her shoulder, and she began to scoop the water and put it over her shoulder. And he said, I was watching her do this, and I was thinking, that's just how we are, that we want to do it ourselves, that we don't want to trust and know what can happen, that we start to take the cup and try and get the water from one side to think we can fill up the other side and not understand what's going to happen. And he said, and then there was this moment, he said, where I reached out and I turned on the faucet, and it was this aha moment for my daughter that her father was in control of her destiny, of her life, of how much she gets filled up. And it was a powerful story for me, just in the fact that I find myself, and I think if we're all very honest, we find ourselves scooping the water from the front of us, trying to throw it behind our shoulder so we have enough water over there. And it's really a futile exercise. I mean, at some point you just go, what am I doing? My shoulder hurts now. It doesn't seem to be getting any fuller behind me than it is in front of me. And then not realizing that God, our Father, is standing right there ready to turn the spigot on, you know, ready to fill up our cup, to do all of that for us. And that story, combined with how they were ministering to my wife and I that morning, really allowed us to see that, you know, it's not my job to fill up my cup. It's God's job. God fills up my cup. And if I try and fill up my cup, all I'm doing is scooping the water from the front and putting it in the back. But when God fills up my cup, I don't have to scoop any water. Instead, I just stand there and revel and marvel in the glory of God and what He can do, measurably more than I can imagine.
Yeah.
So it was a great moment where we got ministered to in that and got our cup filled up. But then there was a story that kind of just really spoke to both of them. I mean, afterwards, Tasha and I are in the car and we're like, oh my gosh, that story, that was us. And Tasha's like, yeah, it is. So it was kind of interesting.
Wow. And I'm thinking of the concept of baptism. Those of us that have come to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and that point when we want to die to our old sins and be renewed. And I think the Baptists do it best. I have to say, when I first started attending First Baptist Church of Champaign and Savoy, when they have a baptismal service, or a portion of the service is dedicated to the time when somebody's going to, you know, share, and they give a little testimony. When they go down, the pastor, you know, brings them down into the water, and they come up, everyone gives a standing ovation and claps. And I'm like, wow. I mean, I was sitting there and everyone's around me standing and clapping. So obviously I jumped up right away, not knowing that that's the practice, at least at the First Baptist Church of Champaign and Savoy. But yeah, that's such a celebratory time when you take to heart the message that you want to now be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, risen with Him, and that special work that can take place when you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and, you know, cleanse me from the sin. As an act of obedience, as an act of faith, I now relinquish control. And, you know, there's many different things in prayers that people say, but that celebratory time when they come up out of the water. Oh, it's just
I've been in churches where they don't celebrate, where it's more of a solemn affair, and I don't understand it. I mean, and it's not, for me, it's an open-handed issue. It's not one that we should divide on. But I don't understand how it can't be a celebration, because the Bible tells us that heaven celebrates when one person crosses over and accepts the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So why shouldn't we then celebrate also? I mean, I think baptism should be full of hooting and hollering and music and, you know, just, I mean, another person has joined the kingdom of God. I mean, that's a moment to celebrate. That's a moment for cake.
Yeah, anything to get some cake in you, right? Well, and the fact that I like when various services allow time for there to be a testimony. Yeah. Sometimes I think they might video it in advance mm-hmm. and then play that, or have the person. And, you know, I know there's the structure and you can only have so much time. But if you kind of prime the person, hey, share two or three things about your life story. It's such a blessing, and we all can identify with testimonies. So,
yeah, when I was baptized, I gave my testimony. It was like to, oh my gosh, like 5,000 people and at this church. And it was powerful for me in terms of that, because it really felt like you're just throwing the doors open and letting everybody see why, where, how, who you've been, what you've been, how you've changed. I mean, you're allowing the I think the testimony part is allowing the community access into your life, transparency into your life, to call you out. Because when you share your testimony, what you're really doing with that room full of believers is allowing them to understand what you used to be like, in case you start to act like you used to be like.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's why I love testimonies, because that's a time where you can say, you know what, I remember when you gave that in your testimony, and I see you started to do that again, and I don't want you to do that, because Jesus is the most important thing in your life.
Yeah, it kind of raises that level of accountability. Okay, I'll share one with you. I probably should share this over the air, but I want to be totally accountable to this as I'm reading this book on prayer. And I only shared this with one other person, but hey, you know, might as well
share it with thousands.
And this will help everyone hold me accountable, but I feel so passionate about it, but I want to learn to pray as much as I talk. I just want to have that mindset before I enter into conversations, before I make decisions, before I launch into a new endeavor, before I do anything. I want to spend as much time praying as I spend speaking and talking. And you know, I can hold my own when it comes to talking, but it's like, Lord, I just want to have that mindset of being praying all day long, so that Sunday I can say, wow, you know what? I think I prayed way more than I talked today. Wouldn't that be kind of exciting?
Yeah, I think so. I have a practice, you know, and it came from my wife loves to cook. So we have these cookbooks open all the time. And I one day, this was maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, because we were still missionaries. And I was looking at, she had the cookbooks on the counter because she was making a big meal. And I thought, wow, every single one of these recipes, every single one of these things, all these ingredients put together has a certain amount of time that it has to rest, sit, or cook before it's right to eat, before it's right to do. And so I started to realize that everything that I do should have a time where it cooks. And I even use that. I mean, I think I was talking to our youth leader the other day, and he was saying, well, I want to do this. And I said, okay, I want you to start to put the pieces in place and then let it cook.
Yeah.
Because you have to do that. If not, we'll run ahead. We'll start scooping water. We'll start doing that. Let God turn the spigot on. And if you're supposed to do it, it'll be clearly evident. I mean, you'll know right away. I mean, I know when God's in something and when God's not in something. But I can sometimes try and make my thing seem really great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the beauty of prayer, that communication with God. And it doesn't just mean we talk, or he's that vending machine and we tell him all of our requests, or we say, hey, because I prayed for 10 minutes today, are you going to answer these things, God?
Right.
It's that open dialogue where many times prayer is just listening or reading through the scriptures and listening for those impressions or those insights, or just being still before him. Anyways, there's so many great aspects of prayer, and it's because you're talking to Almighty God, the very sovereign entity, Almighty Creator God, that created you and has plans and purposes for our lives. So draw near to God today, everyone, and I believe and trust, and his scripture says he'll draw near to you. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and hope to see many of you at the Merge Gospel Series tomorrow. There's still time to join us. I think a couple people asked me, can they still come? And I said,
oh, yeah.
Sure, come on and join.
We're not even halfway through yet.
Yeah, so you can have a good time. Join us, and we'll see you tomorrow night, 6:30 at Judah Christian School. Come early, because there'll be some kind of treat. And we hope to see you tomorrow night. And then Friday will be a special edition of Mark and Friends. It'll be a little dated, but nonetheless,
deja vu.
It'll take us through the book of Acts. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great day.